The following event is a More Ace Audio production. Introducing first, from London, England, the team of Ace and Skillet, this is The Kickout.
Yes, what's going on, people? Welcome to another episode of The Kickout. My name's Ace.
My name is Skillet.
You always do that.
Yes, but like, pick the mic.
I say, Skillet, talk for me, and then you'll be like, yeah. And then when the mics go live, you start burning people's ears.
You're not the only one that has that problem. I do it with the grill position.
I'm keeping all of this, by the way.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, cool.
It's great content.
It is great content. welcome to another episode of The Killout, Kickout. This is your weekly rundown of all things pro wrestling and WWE. How you been?
I'm good. How are you? This is episode 62.
Yeah, we need to apologize for the lack of episodes.
We got a lot of stick on Twitter recently. A lot of people are like, what is going on?
And we deserve it.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
You know.
Last week...
Not dropping two episodes 2 weeks in a row without even apologizing to our people.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. But you get your weekly fix of Skillet on GP, though.
That's true.
So that's cool. And if you want to listen to me on the radio, I'm on the radio.
Yeah, every day.
Extra. But they want us together talking pro wrestling.
Yes.
But last week, I had tonsillitis. It was bad.
Fair enough.
I couldn't swallow. I was in my bed shivering. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what happened the week before I was in Ibiza.
You're in Ibiza, yeah.
Yeah. So apologies.
But the good news is we've got, you know, awesome guests today.
Yes.
Jam-packed episode. So later on the episode, we got a special interview with Marty Scurll.
Sick.
So look forward to that. But right now, in the studio, we have someone I've always wanted to show for a while since I've met him, actually. For people who don't know who he is, you might know who he is, actually, because I haven't introduced him yet. But his name is Rhys Sanders. He does modeling. He's a broadcaster himself. He runs his own show with Michael Payne and Harvey Sylvester in Football Radio, right?
Yeah.
And what's the name of the show?
It's actually called Payne and Sylvester Incorporated.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right, but you're a big part of the show too.
Yeah, well, when the first started, I wasn't a bar. And
yes.
I joined like two or three episodes in and it had already had a name.
Sick. So you just kind of blended in.
We were going to change the name, but, you know, it was all just, no one could be bothered to think up a new name for it.
Right.
So we just ran with Payne and Sylvester.
So for those who don't know, Michael Payne, big boy MC in the game, talented rapper, hip-hop and grime, and Harvey Sylvester is part of the Rizzle Kicks fam, so they do a weekly show. What do you guys cover in that show?
So we used to be like a faux law firm,
yeah,
and we used to get our listeners to send in like legal advice and would like answer it. but we've changed now and we give out hump day help.
It's right,
on a Wednesday,
yes,
so we
yes.
can share our Wednesday wisdom, all problems welcome. We cover like ridiculous topics as well in the news, and we play.
Yeah, because you've when you joined the faction, you just blended straight in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I've been friends with these for like 5 or 6 years
right.
now, so we already had that like chemistry.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you also do something else with Michael Payne on its own, right? You do a football.
Yeah. So we've got another show called High Sports News. It's just like a social media based show where we try and discuss football whilst high, but it never really works out too well. So yeah,
it's very entertaining though.
It's fun. It's fun to make, man. Definitely, it's a good laugh.
I met Rhys on a shoot set. They Rhys and Michael Payne, they do some comedy segments with Hook TV,
mm-hmm.
and they got me involved in being like a little part of a really fun shoot we did together, actually.
Yeah.
And then when we started discussing things backstage, I found out Rhys was a WWE lifer.
Awesome.
So we always ask our guests before we start off the show today, a Mount Rushmore, your top four greatest of all time. Rhys, coming to you, what is your top four greatest of all time?
I find it difficult picking top four because I've got a lot of favourite wrestlers.
Yeah.
But
he's wearing an Austin t-shirt, by
the way. Yeah, exactly.
The greatest of all time on his team, you know?
So Stone Cold up there,
of course.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Those two, especially together as well, they were just like, that was the best era of wrestling to me.
1,000%.
That Attitude Era was
1,000%.
Just incredible. Shawn Michaels.
Right, oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I just, and especially that whole like D-Generation, even before that, after Shawn Michaels just, yeah, the only wrestler apart from John Cena to sing his own theme tune, so you know, you gotta give him props for that too.
You got Enzo now.
Is it Enzo?
No, is that Enzo?
Yeah, though? Enzo raps that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he does, yeah. 100%.
Okay.
But I think he was the first.
Yeah.
I think he definitely was the first.
Yeah, I agree.
Or maybe the Freebirds theme, was that them? No. That wasn't them, was it? But I think, for sure, might have been the first, actually. Yeah, yeah. So, good shout.
Yeah. And, you know, like, he was the sexy boy, wasn't he? Yeah. Heartbreak kid. And that's how I thought I was when I was younger. That was me. And then my fourth is Chris Jericho. I was
That's a great Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Jeroholic growing up.
Yes.
Massive. In fact, could cut a great promo. He was entertaining.
He could do everything.
Definitely.
He could do everything.
And to be honest, if I was going to take it to five, this one might be a bit controversial, but I'd say The Miz.
Really?
Because I feel like he's like the new age Jericho. And do you know if The Miz stopped wrestling, he'd be a great commentator. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's the best heel as well.
I think there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. I mean, you have to give Miz his props now, you know, like the proof's in the pudding, man. Like, he's just proved all the doubters wrong, and I was one of the biggest doubters. So
I feel like it was just they probably gave him a lot too soon. I feel like that run he had early with the title was
he didn't deserve that. Was that, was unfair. That was unfair to him. Yeah, that was unfair to him.
It was too much for him. But I think now he's showing that he's worth, I think.
You and I were saying the next step, because you know, his great run at SmackDown before he moved to Raw recently, like, he had a great year last year.
Yeah.
And we wanted him to stay on SmackDown and become maybe a world champion.
Yeah,
you know?
World champion.
He should be the champion really over Jinder.
Yeah, right, I think so. SmackDown. Definitely.
You know,
he's great. He's the guy that the fans love to boo, and he just gets under everyone's skin. And his segments are just getting better and better as well.
Absolutely.
Even as they might, sometimes they're long and really drawn out, but they're entertaining all the same. So I think Maurice's war is just giving him that little extra.
And
I love the entourage.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's sick. Yeah, the entourage.
So there you go. Very good.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think you'd definitely be a good heel commentator. Do you know, like,
Lola.
The King.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd be a great, great heel commentator. Yeah, so, yeah.
How old are you?
25.
25, okay. Yeah, yeah. So you've been a wrestling fan all your life? So,
yeah, I can't remember not being a wrestling
Wicked.
Fan.
That's amazing. Do you have, like, a first match in your head that you remember, like, that made you want to be? Because obviously, people my generation are maybe Ace Generation 2, we'll probably say Warrior Hogan, right?
Yeah.
That'll probably be like the standout match growing up.
I don't have a match, but I have like a whole, it's like a whole pay-per-view, and it was Armageddon 98, I think it was.
Okay.
And
I remember 99, maybe 98.
98 or
what
99?
Was the main event of 98?
I remember there was what was the name? Mae Young. In a bikini match.
That might have been 99.
Is it 99?
That's probably 99.
That pay-per-view, I just remember that pay-per-view. That's the first one that like sticks into my head. But yeah, no, plenty of matches.
Classics.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's get into the review of the week. We started off with Great Balls of Fire this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, before we get that, we're gonna go back a couple of weeks because we weren't here to review last week's SmackDown. And, I mean, there was a huge...
a lot of people were complaining that there was no episode of Kickout while this rap battle happened.
Yeah, because they wanted to hear what we had to say about the New Day Usos rap battle.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was really good. I cringed when I heard they were doing it, and I was like, "Why are they doing this?" And then, when they actually executed, I was like, "You know what? This is actually very good." What? Who would you give? What was the scores for you?
Usos
2-1 in it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they only got two rounds, didn't they, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Usos only really got two. They only actually had... So, I mean...
But the only really standout...
Round from New Day was Xavier Woods. So,
We think... He started off nice.
Yeah.
But it just didn't really end well. And Kofi's, I don't even want to talk about. But I'm going to give it to Usos. What would you say, Reese?
I definitely give it to the Usos. Yeah. They were on there, like... their personal shit.
It was still I know they're boys in backstage. I know they're really close, but they really went for each other. And while they came out and said it was never discussed what they were going to say to each other. It was all planned.
I can imagine like this is something that they've done backstage before. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
Or on the road, like they might battle each other on like long car journeys or whatever.
Well, that's how Cena made his name, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
he was just rapping in the tour bus coming back from London. Bruce Pritchard. Well, Bruce said it was him.
Yeah.
Stephanie said it was her.
Right.
But I believe Bruce. Bruce spotted. Bruce heard seen her, and he's like, yo, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then did it, went with it.
It's good. I think it was a great addition to the show. I thought it was awesome. I think Wally played a good...
Wally was very incredible. Good. And he got a lot of WWE guys love him.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, this Wally smashed it.
Maybe we'll see more of because Wally.
Especially after the last celebrity they had.
Yeah. Who was the last celebrity?
Ball. The basketball player.
Oh, Lonzo Ball.
Did you see that?
No.
When he was on Miz TV and he just tried to sabotage.
And one of
the
his,
segment.
One and of his kids used the N-word.
Yeah, and one of his sons, who's also going to be a famous basketball player one day. He's quite young, but he used the N-word.
On Miz TV.
On Raw. And Dean Ambrose came out and looked so awkward. Like, yeah, and then they had to cut Dean Ambrose's promo. So obviously, after having that bad experience with a celebrity, Wale...
Saving
the day and being very professional. He's a massive fan of wrestling. They all know that themselves. So I think they were very appreciative having Wale involved in that.
It was a good look, man. Very good look.
But yeah, Usos, they went in. And nice lines by Xavier with the you wouldn't be no one with your wife wasn't a total divas and the whole carrying bags of Roman.
Yeah, it was good.
But Usos.
Yeah, you're getting a Don DeMarco on Raw. Do you know what I mean? You've won.
And Wally only said Don DeMarco for the Usos.
It's true.
Don DeMarco.
Very good. What else have we got outside of the ring before?
All right, before we start, let's talk about outside of the ring stuff. Austin Aries has been released.
That's really sad.
Reese, were you a fan of Austin Aries?
Not really.
No. Did you know any of his work beforehand?
What's up?
Did you know any of his work before you came to WWE?
No.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, I'm obviously gutted.
Yeah, we had big plans for Austin Aries.
Well, everybody knows how much, you know, how I loved, how I love these guys.
The greatest man alive.
Was he big in the indies before? Then,
yeah, massive. Okay. He was a former Ring of Honor champion. He defeated Samoa Joe.
Oh, okay.
And he's defeated
a TNA champion
Bobby
as well.
Roode for the TNA belt.
Mm.
So, and he's one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen. Like, and I, you know what I mean? I go way back in my wrestling. So it's a shame they had something there, and he could talk too. You know, he was a great talker. So it's a shame that they kind of just pigeonholed him with 205 Live. He obviously got frustrated after losing to Neville like three times.
Well, that is, the rumor is that he didn't want to be a cruiserweight.
He didn't, no.
You're a cruiserweight though.
He is, but I think he, obviously where he's built up his status,
he's
beyond it. Because obviously he's about the same size as CM Punk.
Let's be real.
Yeah, yes, he is. And him and Punk had a series of matches before. He's had his legacy. So it's like,
I don't know, just thinking about him now, I feel like CM Punk was bigger than
I just felt
a scenario.
That they should have probably put him in a 205 Live first and then get him out of it. And
right.
Do something else with him.
That probably was the plan, to be fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he probably ran out of patience too far.
Or do you know what it is? I think they looked at him to carry the whole division.
But he didn't win the belt.
He didn't want to do that, I suppose. It's a shame, man. Maybe he should have just stayed at NXT as well.
Well, they should have done more of him in NXT.
It's a shame.
Yeah,
it is a shame because
shame.
We did have big plans for Austin Aries. And you know what? He was good on commentary as well.
Yeah, like, very good.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
Did you hear about the rumors of Paige and Del Rio?
No.
So, you know, there's always been some sort of controversial stories between these two. All that's dating since Paige she hasn't even come back to WWE yet, has she?
Nope.
She's had the surgery. The surgeries went okay. She's still under contract. Apparently, there's rumors that Del Rio doesn't want her to go back.
I heard that.
Yeah, and recently in the airport, they had a massive fight. Apparently, someone filmed them having an argument. She was screaming, "Leave me alone." And she threw water on Del Rio or something like that. But then she came out and said, "I didn't throw water, Del Rio, someone else did." That's why they called the police. But then now Del Rio's in investigation for battery, you know, abusing Paige. Then Paige's brother come out saying, "Oh, I'm worried about my sister. She might end up like Whitney Houston. She might end up like Amy Winehouse."
Oh, shit.
Yeah, all this kind of...
And then,
which is weird because the Knight family are quite notorious for, like, they're kind of goonish.
Okay.
Like, there's been stories they've run up to other wrestling promotions in the UK and
batted them off,
batted up people that trying to like do promotions on their territory and stuff. So they're quite goons. So I don't know why they would stop them from taking a ticket to the States and sorting out. You know what I'm saying?
Can I just say, I don't like, we find none of this funny. But
no, I don't find anything funny.
One thing I did find funny was the post that Alberto Del Rio put on Instagram.
It's Xavier Woods and Triple H.
He said, "Tuesday next week, a bunch of pussies will be in San Antonio. The man with the big nose and no balls, and also the pussies from the rap battle too." Like, why are you angry? But it's like, why is he angry with Triple H and Xavier? Well, we know why he's mad with Xavier Woods. Yeah.
But he shouldn't be mad at Xavier Woods because that wasn't his fault.
It's not his fault.
It got leaked.
It wasn't his fault.
And he was that happened way before he was with Paige.
Then he says, with no balls like their boss. All yes men. I'll be in my restaurant starting at 10 p.m. I'll be waiting there. Then he gives the address for his restaurant and he says, and after I beat the shit out of you, I'll buy you a drink just because I'm a good man. He is crazy.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what's funny?
Why is he so mad?
What are you angry at? I don't get it. He's
got issues. But remember when he got stabbed in the head last year?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said it was Paige.
Yeah, you did say that.
No, man said, I'll be at the restaurant waiting.
Yeah.
And they're going to come down for a swing.
All right, then fine, let's go.
Yeah, like all of you. I'm going to take on all of you. He's wild. And you know what made me laugh about this post was like, I saw it when it went up. And I was like, you know, like sometimes you see celebrities put up posts and you're like, that'll be gone in an hour. That is still there now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he doesn't care.
Do you know what was the funny thing though? Who liked the post?
Oh yeah,
Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho. I don't think Chris Jericho read the post.
Nah, he probably just liked it. I'm just liking it.
Or had no idea who he's talking about.
Like, how can you not? What, the man with the big nose?
Yeah, it's true. And the rap battle.
And the pussies from the rap battle.
Yeah.
Hilarious. But other than that, I don't think any of this is funny. And I think somebody needs there's an intervention needed.
But what I will say, listen. Like battery and all that stuff is serious shit.
Proper.
Right? And like, if he's doing that to her, fuck Del Rio.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Fuck El Patron. Get me? I'm glad I didn't interview him now. Remember, I had a chance to interview him.
Yeah, you did. I remember that.
But I will have to say, Paige, she needs to help herself out too. You can't just be blaming, poor Paige. No. Paige is fucking herself up too with this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody needs to go in and help either party.
They were saying how Paige's brother said how Brad Maddox used to fuck her over and abuse her, and that's what's kind of stemmed this whole fuckery.
I mean, at this moment,
we don't really know anything.
It's a lot of speculation, exactly. So we don't want to comment too much. I just think it's very obvious that something needs to be done, and I can't imagine we'll see Paige on WWE TV
anytime soon,
ever again. If I'm honest,
yeah, I agree.
Someone we did see on WWE TV this week, though. Is Dixie Carr, which I thought was very interesting.
Right. So,
yeah. I thought that was wild.
You watched the Kurt Angle 24.
No, I didn't watch it. You didn't watch it? Yeah. No, I didn't watch it, but I've seen the promo vid for it.
Yeah, she was on there talking about Angle. So, we'll get into that because something happened on Raw this week. So, we'll get into that.
So how quick before do you think Dixie Carter is a regular?
Well, it might be next week.
Oh, so you think this is them introducing her to WWE?
Do you know what happened at the end of Raw?
Yeah, I saw it was like, he said that we've got nothing to be ashamed of or something.
Right.
His new love interest,
isn't it? Oh, it so might Dixie's, be Dixie Carter.
Nah, I don't think
Do you know where they're going to be in Raw next week?
Where?
In TNA's home, Nashville.
So you think Dixie Carter is going to be the new GM of Raw?
There's other rumors as well we'll get into, but I have a feeling it's going to be Dixie.
Really?
I don't know about GM, just love interest to Angle, so maybe she might be involved with Angle.
Vince is a beast, you know.
Of course he is. Vince don't play.
Vince will put you out of your job and then say, yeah, come work for me,
innit? Absolutely, he don't play.
He don't give a shit.
He knows she's not with TNA anymore.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Come down and help out with the interview. Oh, you think that's it? You're going to come out and talk about Angle and that's it? No. What you got? We got this for you. Come and get involved. Fully, they've done this time and time. Eric Bischoff.
You get what I'm saying? What she doesn't understand is if she does it, they're just gonna make her look stupid every week for the next 6 months.
Yeah, but the money that she's gonna generate is ridiculous.
That's wild.
She's gonna get good money, man. So,
and you know what? They gotta get her saying outrageous shit about ex talent that she used to work with.
And one thing I will say is, regardless of people's how they might feel about her as a boss in TNA. They might be like, oh, she might be incompetent or might doesn't know what she's doing. At the end of the day, one thing everybody said about Dixie Carr, whoever worked for her, was she's a lovely person.
Yeah.
That's what they will always say. No one say a bad thing about her personally. They'll just say maybe work-wise, they can't really fuck with her. But that don't mean that when they bring her in, they'll probably accept her with open arms. Get me?
I met her. She was really nice. And she, like... She's a fan of wrestling.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, so we'll see, man. I don't know about this. I don't know about this Kurt Angle Dixie Carter love story, though. I don't think that's. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if that's going to happen. I feel like you lot have looked way too into that storyline there. I don't know.
We probably have, but who, but who cares? All right, should we get into the Great Balls of Fire?
Let's do it.
Before we talk about this pay-per-view, Reese, your expectations going into this pay-per-view before you watched it?
I didn't have any high expectations at all for it. Watched it. Jeez, it was actually...
You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah,
I
man.
I thought
it was exciting.
I gave it... I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
No way.
Really?
Nah.
I give it a 4 out of 5.
A 4,
like a soft 4. But
Maybe not 4. Maybe 3 and a half or something like that.
Maybe I just didn't like the outcomes of some of the matches. That's maybe the way it was for me. Maybe as a pay-per-view it was good, but I found it hard to watch it without thinking maybe that should have happened or that. There was a couple standout moments, but I didn't love it.
Sure. Great Balls of Fire was held at the American Airlines Center. We were there for WrestleMania 32.
Were we?
Was it American? It was in Texas? Dallas?
I don't know.
You don't remember, do you?
Is that was the same place?
American Airlines Center. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was where it was where they held NXT, maybe.
I have no idea.
Oh, this is not good.
I can't remember.
But anyway, the first match was Neville, who defeated Akira Tozawa. Did you get to watch the kickoff?
No, I missed the kickoff. Yeah.
It was a nice match. Akira Tozawa and Neville.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Akira Tozawa is going to get another title shot after this, but it was a nice opening match. I got a nice back and forth. Akira Tozawa looked very strong. I think Neville has to go down as probably the best wrestler
right now
in WWE.
Really?
I think so, man.
Better
AJ. I'm going to say... I mean, obviously, you know I love my AJ.
Yeah.
And last year, AJ had it. AJ took it last year. But I think since Neville's turned heel, the matches he's having, man, it has to be noticed, man. Mm. I mean, it may not be noticed because he's always on a kickoff or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's incredible.
Big up to Neville.
To keep it at that consistency as well. Mm. To go hard as Neville goes as well. He goes hard as well. So, but yeah, Neville picked up the win. I get a feeling it'll be Neville and Cedric. For the next pay-per-view.
I don't feel like Cedric's creating enough heat, though, man.
No, he's not.
I don't feel like the crowd care about him enough.
They don't.
Like, he just had that I Quit match, and it was like, it was dead.
Yeah, and one thing I would say is the crowd goes, do cheer along with Akira when he does that.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of Akira Tozawa?
I mean, it's mid-card, isn't it, for me? Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And your thoughts of Neville?
Yeah, no, I rate Neville. I feel like best wrestler in the WWE is a huge shout, but I think, mate, he's a great wrestler.
Yeah, he is. Okay, maybe not the best, but he's definitely up there.
Yeah, no, 100%, and I think he deserves more of a push than, you know what I mean? He definitely should be not on the kickoff, but...
Yeah, needs more, he needs to be... The next pay-per-view, we want to see Neville on the damn show. Like, properly, on the card. No kickoff nonsense.
Yeah, 100%.
The next match, Bray Wyatt defeated Seth Rollins. Now, did any of you think Bray Wyatt was going to win this match coming into this?
No.
No, but...
I was happy he won, though.
I was glad he won.
I was happy he won.
It's good.
Yeah. It was a good match as well.
Yeah, it was.
A good match.
I was not interested in this match at all.
No.
Like, I had no interest in this match. No. Like, and it was in the right position. First match to kick off the show.
Yeah.
Like, apart from the kickoff match, obviously. But...
I was waiting for him to lose. And he did, and he won, which was a nice surprise.
So, what do you think? What's next for Bray?
Straight into another rivalry, innit? Straight.
With someone else.
But like, what is he going to carry on with this like religious thing? Is this like?
Let's get Bray Brock, man. Let's have that.
I'd love to see him back wrestling. Not on the first fight.
I agree. He deserves more.
Let's have Bray Brock, man. I'd like to see, like, someone get into the mind of Brock Lesnar. And I think that he's the perfect character
definitely.
To do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, like, having, like, strong guys go against Brock Lesnar now is all fun and well. Like, having them dream matches, Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns. Like, but I want to see someone do the mind games with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd love to see Brock get broken down mentally. Yeah. You know, because his character's, like, a bit, you know... he has Paul Heyman that has to do talk the talk. He's not like the brightest, you know what I mean? Yeah, and yeah, I, but yeah, so, yeah, I've, yeah. So I'd love to see someone get into that head and just break him down. One and then, you know, go back into that when he made his debut and like he was just...
I loved it.
It was one of the best things.
Mate, he was so exciting to watch. Like the first 2 years, Bray Wyatt and WWE programming, maybe even three. Maybe the first 3 years of Bray was brilliant,
really
man.
Good.
And it just did this really poor booking decisions. Like the best thing they did with the Wyatt family is when they had that feud with The Shield.
Yeah,
you remember
that was sick.
That was amazing.
Sick. That was sick.
I just don't understand how you have a gem like that and you just don't push him to the moon. But you know what? Hopefully they'll get it right with Bray now. I would personally maybe do something him and JoJo.
Really?
Yeah.
What? No?
I don't know. Make JoJo become a Wyatt.
And then what?
She could be his valet.
And then what, though? But he's still got to have a rivalry at some point with someone.
Yeah.
You just want to see more JoJo.
I do. I love JoJo. Big Cass and Enzo. What do you think of this? What do you think of... Let me ask you, Reese. What do you think of the breakup? Is it too soon? Do you think they did a good job of the match on Great Balls of Fire? And what do you think of Cass as a heel?
I thought that either of them could have been the heel and either of them could have been the face.
Right.
I feel like you could have worked it either way.
Right.
But, I think Cass is better as a heel because he ain't going to be cutting as good of a promo, do you know what I mean? So he can just play the bad guy that's just going to come out and, you know, attack him backstage and play the heel that way.
Yeah.
Whereas Enzo's got, you know, the mic skills to be able to be the face and hype the crowd up and get people on his side. And whatever, which is why I also felt that he could have been the heel because he could have done a lot of smack talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's kind of gone the right way in the way that they've chose a heel and face. But... I think the match was just it was just a domination, and I think it could have been a little bit. I'd love to have seen Enzo spice it up a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, little kicks in or something.
Yeah,
you know,
do you know what I mean?
Obviously, Cass should be dominant, but
100%.
Enzo, they should have shown that Enzo wouldn't stop, doesn't quit.
Yeah,
like you knock him down, he'll come after you, like Scrappy do.
Yeah,
you know, he'll come after you. You know what I mean? That's what I would have done, but. But I guess they will probably get to that eventually because obviously I don't think it's the end of the feud.
I don't think it is.
No,
I think it's done now.
No. It will be done because obviously Cass is still going to win the feud, but I think Enzo will get involved in SummerSlam or something. We'll see. But I just feel like, I mean, I understand why they want to break them up. I just think it could have been executed a bit better.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I'd like to have seen them... I would like to have them to have at least had a title run with tag.
They've never been tag team champions.
Never. At least.
That's crazy.
One small run.
That's crazy to me. That they've never been tag team. A team like that with so much charisma and chemistry has never been tag team champions in NXT either.
They might put them back together at some point.
But that's why it makes sense that Cass turned.
Why?
Because they've never been tag team champions.
Yeah,
like, it does make sense why Cass turned. Like, it's just frustrating. Like, speaking of tag team champions, segue. This next match was
amazing.
Yeah,
amazing match. Really good.
Cesaro Sheamus versus the Hardys.
Yeah,
30-minute Iron Man. Reese, going to you first. Your thoughts going into this match?
I think it started. Do you know the way it started? I thought that was great. It was very clever. The match, it was a great match, but I found, like, in the middle, it got a little bit sloppy.
Yes, it did.
It got a little bit drawn out, and then... But they pulled it together at the end again.
Especially the end. The ending was incredible.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. The last couple of minutes.
Yeah. And then the last couple of minutes, the interaction between all four competitors, and then when the clock was going down, and Cesaro got that pin, and then Hardy... Twister fated him and it was too late and it was so good.
Very good match.
So good. Sheamus busted open
my Hardy's face.
Let's get this straight. Sheamus
kicks out
Jeff Hardy's tooth a couple months ago and now he nearly kills Matt Hardy. I wish Sheamus should go New Japan. In Japan he could do this and be fine. There'll be no problem, but I don't know. They must be brittle against Sheamus, man.
My only issue is with the Hardys now is Matt Hardy looks like my one of my uncles. You know what I mean? He's not. And Jeff Hardy, I mean, he's still, I feel like he's still he's a little bit bigger than he was before, but Matt Hardy's just out here in the ring. He's just looking like he's not as agile as he was.
No, he's like. But that's why it was important for them to get the broken gimmick.
Yeah.
Because their bodies, they can't do it anymore. Yeah. So that's why they invented the broken gimmick, cause to restrict. But obviously, when you're in WWE, do what? Vince is like, yeah, do all the stuff that you did in 1999. You can't. So it's important. And that's why I loved it on Raw afterwards. Sorry to skip to Raw straight away, but the Raw afterwards, when Matt kept making the references to the broken, leaking, the crowd was going nuts. So they need to break them.
But how, though?
They must have been sorted by now, the lawsuit.
Do you think so?
Must be.
That's why they're letting off little bits and teasers.
I think they probably will do it at SummerSlam.
Yeah. I thought it was a great match, though.
It was a great match. I think probably the best match of the card.
Yeah, I think that was the best match of the night.
Yeah. I think so. Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss. It was okay.
It wasn't bad. It was just okay.
Alexa Bliss did the whole heel count out thing. What was really impressive?
That pissed me off. Yeah, man.
So you like them endings?
No, man.
You hate them things.
Yeah, it's dead, man. It's so dead.
It's like they can't think of anything else, do they?
Yeah.
They don't want Alexa to lose the title.
But they want
Sasha to win.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, let's do count. Think of something else, man. What they probably should have done is when. You know Alexa did that trick with her arm. She could do that thing where she could describe. Yeah, yeah. I know they've done it before. That's the problem why it wouldn't probably have worked. But they probably should have saved it to a case where they could have stopped a match because of her arm.
Yeah.
That's what we should have done. Instead of counting it out, oh, my arm's dislocated. Match stop.
I don't know, but she shouldn't do it again. That's the last time she does that.
She must be some sort of weird double jointing thing that she could have done from young.
But then she got busted up at the end as well.
With the knees. Yeah. That was really good. The flying knee. That looked like it. Absolutely. That could really cause brain damage. Yeah. When she was landed, wow. So big up the girls, man.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what they're doing with this Mae Young Classic.
Yes. Just find out this British girl from London.
From what culture?
The black girl.
Oh, the black girl. Yeah, I saw her. She's British?
She's from London.
She's quite hot, man.
Her name is... What is her name?
And she does stuff with her hair.
I don't know what she does.
No, she whips them with her hair. Her hair's like a long...
Oh, really?
Long braided ponytail.
Okay.
And she whips them with it. Is that the same woman we're talking about?
I think Amazonian or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, big up to her anyway. We got to support the British wrestlers in.
Absolutely.
The Mae Young Classic.
1,000%, man. Yeah. British wrestlers are doing it, man. Bringing back the art form. Next up, The Miz and The Miz Taraj with Maurice defeats Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental title. Before we started recording, we were talking about The Miz.
Yeah,
I know that's one of you. Well, you mentioned earlier in the show, actually, what I'm talking about. You mentioned that he will be in one of your Mount Rushmores. What did you think of this match with Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, well, I just hope this feud's kind of over now.
Please,
you know what?
Let's end it now.
I've never heard such a statement I've ever agreed with in my life. That's so true.
Do you know, on Raw, when I was just thinking, maybe he's going to feud with Seth Rollins now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean? Get him away from the Ambrose feud, but... In fact, I was kind of hoping I'd see Roman Reigns come down for a quick Shield reunion, but I just want Miz and Ambrose to end that feud. It's just boring now, isn't it?
I agree with you, man.
So
it's there's surely someone else that needs to. Who else would you get? Who would you make the next number one contender
for the IC title?
Yeah,
Big Cass.
No. Miz needs to lose it to a face.
What you seen?
Miz should lose it to a face, and that face should lose it to Big Cass.
You saw that Ty Dillinger's trying... I know they're in different shows, but Ty Dillinger's trying to call him out on Twitter.
I saw that.
That's obviously not going to happen. I have no idea.
Because it's... we're not going to get excited over...
It might be Rollins.
It might be Rollins. Yeah, it might be Rollins. Yeah.
Rollins has been...
I would say Finn. Give Finn the IC title.
Yeah, let's do that.
You ain't doing nothing with Finn.
Yeah.
Making him feud with his ally is Samson.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Jackass.
That makes more sense.
But anyway, the match was fun. I have to say, for a match that we've seen so many times, it was still a fun match. I think Bo and Curtis doing their part, looking the part as well, adds to it. After the match, Miz went on Raw Talk and was gloating to Renee Young's face, how did your boyfriend do? Who's the greatest IC champion of all time? And just winding her up. And then she was like, why are you asking Curtis and Bo, why are you aligning yourself with Miz, don't you think he's dragging you down? And Bob was like, what? When's the last time I've had it? Bob put up an interesting fact. He goes, when was the last time I was on a pay-per-view? And wow. I think it was like 7 months ago.
Wow.
Something like that.
That's deep.
Yeah, I think it was some really interesting fact he pulled up. And then Miz is like, yeah, I'm trying to change these guys' lives. And he's like, just really shoving it to Renee Young's face. It was really good to see. Next, all right, let's talk about this match. The ambulance match, man.
Raw.
Bro, you know what? Can we give a round of applause for Strowman and Reigns? Their matches this year.
Yeah.
I gotta be real. They've got some great matches.
Yeah, you've got great chemistry with
you, bro.
But ambulance match, that was just a rip-off casket match, wasn't it?
Basically.
Yeah. Without burying people anymore, they just put you in the ambulance.
Good match.
PG.
Yeah.
Good match. Let's talk about the controversial ending.
So basically, Reigns lost the match.
Yeah, Reigns tried to do the spear. Strowman threw him into the ambulance, closed the doors, we're celebrating. Reigns comes out, attacks Strowman, throws him in the ambulance truck, drives the car.
Tries to kill him, basically.
And then one of the heelish things I've ever seen in my life, tries to kill Braun Strowman.
Reversing the ambulance into a wall.
Rob, but this is one of the greatest car moments in the WWE since Rikishi ran over Stone Cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He tried to kill it. They've been trying to kill people in it.
No, that's real. But they've always been heels doing that, though.
Yeah.
Not a face.
But maybe this is Reigns turned... I don't know if Reigns turned heel, because he's already hated in it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think he could be a good heel.
I think he'd be an amazing heel. That's what we want.
Yeah.
But then again, when you turn someone heel, then we're going to love him. That's why I understand why WWE wouldn't turn him heel. Because like, oh, you hate him now. Then we turn him heel, you're going to love him. So what's the point?
Yeah. So you didn't think this was him turning heel?
No, I'll tell you why. Because on Raw, they didn't address it.
Yeah, he came down and was like, you man.
Yeah, he addressed it, but they didn't address it to be like, the way Kurt Angle reacted on Great Balls of Fire was like, it's one of the worst things he's ever seen. He was out there like, oh my God, get help. We have to use the ball cutters. Yeah. Strowman's in trouble. You would have thought Kurt Angle would have come next day and be like, you tried to kill somebody. Yeah. You're suspended for how many days? No.
Yeah.
He was just like, come on, man. You guys are from the Attitude Era. And that was it.
And then they were kind of like,
Yeah, you're right. Still.
You were blowing everything up.
Yeah, you did. Okay. You got away with that. What?
Yeah, you're right.
Meanwhile, on SmackDown. Ellsworth is getting and fine 500, well, how many, a grand or something, three grand or something? No, 10 grand. Yeah. Ellsworth's getting fined 10 grand and missing days for cheating and the money in the briefcase. Where you got a man on Raw trying to kill someone and it's just normal. No. It's just inconsistencies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But hey.
It was entertaining.
It was very entertaining. I love the subtle touch where they put Heath and
in the mat.
Heath and Kurt Hawkins to have a match, and then you really didn't get to see who won the match.
I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, very, because it made it look realistic. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you're doing all of that. You need to adjust it properly next day. Yeah. That's my whole point.
That's your point.
All right, main event time. The dream match everybody has wanted to see for years: Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. Reese, your thoughts?
Was anyone else pissed off? It was only like 8 minutes long.
Yeah. I think that's all we're ever going to get from Brock Lesnar. I don't feel like Brock Lesnar is never going to give us more than 10 minutes.
Is that in his contract?
It must be. I feel like that's all we're ever going to get is 10 minutes.
He's made that. By the way, guys, 8 minutes maximum.
that's all we're
getting.
Because, I mean, come on, it's Samoa Joe. We could have easily got a good 25 minutes.
Yeah, man.
Easily. Do you know what I mean?
And it started really well when Joe attacked him, threw him through the table. Like, Lesnar really sold for him.
Yeah.
Whatever Lesnar did, Joe was there with something to reply, so...
Am I dumb for thinking Joe was going to win this?
No, you're not dumb.
Oh, okay, cool. No, I genuinely thought Joe was going to win this.
I think they'll fight for the title again, and I think Joe will win.
We'll win it next time, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think Joe's going to win...
I think it might be a triple threat.
Ooh.
Reigns, Joe.
No, because you know what you're forgetting is that Strowman has to come back at some point and get revenge. Or
so it might be a four-way.
You think it'll be a four-way?
And maybe Reigns will win it because it has to be Reigns, Cena, WrestleMania.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why does it have to be them?
Why not? You know, why? Box office they're going to make of that.
You think it's going to be Reigns, Cena, WrestleMania?
Absolutely.
And then they're going to put Reigns over
again. What brand?
Nah.
What no brand? I don't know if that doesn't necessarily mean Reigns will win.
It will, if they face off at WrestleMania,
what
Reigns
brand
will win.
Does Cena work for?
WWE.
No, in terms of
what do you mean?
Raw or SmackDown.
He's a free agent.
Exactly.
So what's your point?
So he's facing Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't think so? Nah. What do you think, Reese? You think too soon?
Yeah, I just don't think.
You think the year after? That has to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah, 100%, but not. I don't know if this Mania.
You think the year afterwards?
Maybe.
Yeah. Interesting. Maybe you guys are right.
They've had a match already at Mania. Have they not?
Nope.
They've had a match though.
When he was in the Shield. Never one on one.
Interesting.
Exactly.
How many years has Cena got left?
That's what I'm saying.
In your opinion?
Probably two.
Yeah.
He's gonna go Hollywood. He's gonna fully go the Rock route.
No, but is he gonna I'm talking about when he's done, when he's Undertaker done, is what I'm talking about. Like he's not gonna come back. I'll be far away from that.
Well, I think he'll carry on doing like what the Rock's doing, you know what I mean? Like just come back every now and again and just have a little.
He's gonna have 10 years in him in that sense.
Really? Okay. Okay, well then we've got bare time for that. If I'm honest.
Well, you never know, man.
We've got loads of time.
It could be
for
one
that.
Of them, like we saw Rock Cena, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it
yeah,
could
yeah.
be like Cena Reigns, could be like Rock Cena kind
years
of thing.
Down the
that
line,
could be
yeah.
ages away.
I would rather see Reigns Cena when they're both in their prime. Cena could still really go well. Rock couldn't go as good as he used to when he had Cena. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, big up Samoa Joe. He gave Lesnar a great match. It was only 8 minutes, like Reese just mentioned, which is a bit of a shame. And it was only one F5 that defeated Joe.
Yeah.
But it was a good showing.
It was. But
and you could see that Lesnar respects Joe. Lesnar doesn't respect Dean.
The way the F5 came there was a bit cheap as well,
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah. Like, just...
Yeah, he could have...
Should have been a bit longer, innit?
Yeah,
and then F5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit fast. But what did you say? So what did you think of Great Balls of Fire, Ace?
I didn't really like it.
Out of five?
I'll give it a 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the same as Reese and I said.
You said four.
We said four, but then Reese was like, no, let's just...
Mine is just about a 3 because of the Iron Man match.
Okay. So the next night on Raw, Big Cass comes out and boasts about destroying Enzo, talks about how he's not one to take lightly, how people told him back in the day he would never make it, and now he's proven everybody that he's going to be the top dog at WWE. And then the Big Show comes out and interrupts. So I'm assuming we're going to see Big Show, Cass, SummerSlam. What are you guys' thoughts on Big Show versus Cass at SummerSlam?
The Big Show just has to fight anyone that's big that comes into the WWE.
Yeah, it's true.
So...
It's true. But he'll put Cass over well, though.
Yeah,
I think.
Definitely. I think that would be a great... Do you know what to...
It's a good opener, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
That needs to be the opening match.
Yeah.
Right, Ace?
Mm-hmm.
You not interested?
Nah. I mean... Yeah. I mean, yeah, I suppose. It's just Giant versus Giant, isn't it?
Yeah. Hopefully, like Reese said, if it's an opening match, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose.
That can't be, right.
Yeah.
That can't be, like, middle of the card.
No.
We'll get frustrated.
No. I'm happy to see 8 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Finn Balor versus Elias Samson. Yeah. What do you think of Elias Samson, Reese?
No opinion.
Yeah. Really. I don't see it.
No.
The Gorilla Position boys, they love it. Really? But I just say he's just ripping off The Rock's concert.
I don't like that. I think he's got a good look, though.
He's got a great look.
There's something about him that is... But I don't like the guitar thing. I think it's crap. It's annoying. But I think, I don't know. I'm going to see if he can actually go in terms of wrestling.
He's not a bad wrestler. He's got a nice elbow, like Savage. But, he doesn't. There's nothing there for me.
Finn will roll him over easily.
That's right. The Hardy Boys came out and did a little interaction with Finn. So I'm assuming they're going to try and tease something with the Hardys and Finn down the line. I don't know. But when the Hardys came out, they were interrupted by Luke Gallows and Anderson because Hardys came out to say that they're not leaving, they're not going anywhere. They're going to stay and
tease the broken.
They kept teasing all the broken stuff. And then Gallows and Anderson came out, challenged them to a match. Gallows and Anderson wins.
Yeah.
And after that, the Revival comes back and they attack the the Hardys. So are we going to see a fatal four-way at SummerSlam where it's the Hardys, Cesaro and Sheamus, Revival and Luke Anderson and Gallows?
Mate, I just feel like this was maybe part of them becoming broken.
I have a feeling that all the other three teams might destroy the Hardys at the next pay-per-view, and that's when they become...
And that's when they become broken. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. Mm. Like, they get demolished, like, finished.
Yeah.
What is the next Raw pay-per-view?
SummerSlam.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen then.
Yeah. Miz TV. Miz... The Mizzy started his own award show.
Yeah.
With the Mr. Raj. Gave the Mr. Raj best supporting act.
Yeah.
best leading lady. The most beautiful leading lady. Whatever you said about Maryse. She got her award. And the Miz gave himself the greatest wrestler has ever lived. Was that what
I can't remember.
Something
was,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Was that the greatest wrestler champion? Then Dean Ambrose came out and did what we've always been asking for. Just be serious.
Yeah.
No hokey, funny Ambrose shit. No stupid segment when you're dressed up as a Mountie or you're dressed up as a donkey or whatever.
Cameraman.
You come out with a steel chair and you're whacking up Miz. Yeah. That's what we want to see. Yeah, that's all we want.
Yeah.
You know, talking about steel chairs, what we brushed over was Roman Reigns Strowman.
The chair shots. Yeah. Were lethal, man. That's true. We did brush over that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
That's what I'm talking about. More of that.
More of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Dean, just be serious. No more. And then backstage. Oh yeah. Then Seth come out to help Dean.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Raj outnumbered Dean Ambrose after he was attacking Miz. Seth come out to help him, and then backstage, Seth was just trying to see if he was alright, and Dean was like, "This is not no Shield reunion."
I was hoping it was. Do
you want a Shield reunion?
I'd love a Shield. I love the Shield.
Yeah, they were sick.
They were sick, but I just feel that might bring down Roman a bit. I think he's going through a role right now.
What if they do it without Roman?
They do it without Roman and get in.
What, Dean and Miz? I mean, Seth and Dean?
Yeah.
Only?
Yeah. Maybe get a third member.
Yeah. What about Big Cass?
That would be sick.
Nah.
But...
That would be sick, though.
No, but I mean, I don't mind them together, if I'm honest. I don't really know, man. I think
if they're together, they should be heels. And they should help out Reigns.
That would be good.
That's how I would do it. Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
You know what I mean?
The Mr. Raj.
I'm liking it, man.
I am as well.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for Bo and Curtis to do something, man. Because they got talent. They're doing nothing, man. Doing absolutely nothing.
Guys, both third generation superstars as well. That's nuts.
Yeah. Where was the third generation link with? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, because Blackjack Mulligan.
Mm. IRS.
So Blackjack Mulligan, Barry Windham.
Yeah.
Is because that's Bo's sister's brother, Barry Windham. And Mike Rotundo is IRS.
Yeah.
So the third generation style is on the Windham side. That's what Miz was referring to, IRS side.
Right.
And then, obviously, Curtis.
Son of Mr. Perfect, son of Larry the Axe Hand.
Larry Axe Henning.
Yeah, Henning.
Mr. Perfect, Kurt Henning.
Curtis Axel.
Sasha Banks, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, Tagma. Yeah. Exactly. And then Bayley's come back now. Yeah, I don't feel anything, man.
No. Can we just skip on that, please?
Yeah.
Let's go over that.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about this, are we?
What?
R-Truth and Gold.
R-Truth and Gold.
Let me ask Reese, are you... what are you thinking? Whose idea is this?
I didn't even like R-Truth when he was K-Quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was never been, let's be real. Like,
I'm just not an R-Truth fan.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really is. I mean, he had some funny moments and stuff. Definitely. When he did the stuff when he kept mistaking the stipulation of different... Remember when he was at the Royal Rumble and he brought a ladder into the Royal Rumble and he thought it was the TLC match?
Yeah.
He's done some funny stuff.
Yeah.
But my whole thing is, it's 2017. Let's be real.
Yeah, man. And R-Truth.
No offence. I'm not into like this... you know, getting rid of the old and even the new. I'm not like, you know, if the old is still relevant, by all means.
But
he hasn't been relevant for a while. And then you tease this feud And they're not even on any pay-per-views.
No.
So you just put them on Raw.
Who's even looking forward to this, Mike? Who's no. Oh, I can't wait for R-Truth Goldust.
Nobody.
That's going to bang.
I don't care. Nobody.
No one. No. I feel like we've taken too many.
And if someone says, otherwise, if someone tweets you next day to, when you're hearing the show and say, I am, they're lying.
100%. This is the part where you're like, you go bathroom, you go get something to eat, you know what I mean?
Terrible.
All right, but let's talk about the best thing on Raw this week. Arguably the best thing on wrestling this week. The promo between Kurt Angle, Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and Samoa Joe. I think Joe is the best thing on Raw right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good.
He's killing it, bro.
He is killing it.
So it starts off with Kurt Angle calling out Brock Lesnar. Heyman and Lesnar comes out. Heyman's like, listen, we're not here to talk to you live on Raw about SummerSlam plans. This is not what we do. You book us a match. We'll be there.
Yeah,
why are we here? Roman Reigns interrupts, saying that he should challenge for the match. Heyman likes the idea. Heyman's like, I like this idea. And then Lesnar's like, no, you don't, what? Grabs the mic off him, like, what are you thinking? You're out of your mind. You don't deserve shit, buddy. to Reigns.
Said, you don't deserve shit.
And then when that happens, Samoa Joe interrupts, saying, everybody lives in a fantasy land. I should get my rematch back. You escaped me. You never beat me. And then Lesnar's like, I whipped your ass last night, buddy. What are you talking about? And then Joe goes, yeah, you did. But next time we face off, I'm putting you to sleep. And then Heyman interrupts, saying the person that deserves the title shot should be Roman Reigns because he put Undertaker on the shelf.
Yeah.
And then Joe's saying, well, you're just saying that because you're scared because you know that I've got his number.
Yeah.
And then as he says that, Lesnar gets in Samoa Joe's face. And I don't know if that was planned.
Joe, it looked...
I don't think that was planned.
No. Serious.
And I think Joe did really well to hold his composure and play along with it.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think backstage they were like, yeah, and then you get into his face. Yeah, no, yeah. I just think Lesnar just does what he wants because that's what Lesnar does. And he's like, come on then. Because like you said, like you've always said, Lesnar can have a UFC flashback any moment.
And choke,
and choke somebody.
At one point, he's just going to beat man up.
Round and pound.
For real.
For real.
When Joe interacted back, it was like, and then I think Lesnar took his eye off Joe for a second. Joe goes, listen, you look at me when I'm talking to you. We can shake this out right now. I don't think that was planned either. Because if you look at Roman Reigns' face, he's like, oh shit. So Joe's the real deal. A lot of people want to talk like Joe because he's smaller, like he can't handle man. Obviously, I think Lesnar could take Joe, but Joe ain't going to go out not swinging fighting man. You get me? And not taking out a few lumps in you either. So I'm excited for this, man. And I know they did a whole thing where it's going to be Reigns versus Joe next week on Raw, and whoever wins that will face Lesnar. I think that should be a double DQ or something like that, and both men should face.
Well, we haven't seen Strowman.
And Strowman will come back. Strowman, so I think it should be at least a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
Strowman will come back.
Can you imagine that? For the Universal title is becoming better than WWE show, Adam.
It is, isn't it?
Bro, this was a great promo.
It was, bro.
It was a great segment.
I haven't seen a promo like this in years.
God, for years.
Mm.
Great. This is what Raw has been missing, bro.
With Lesnar just disregarding TV rules and just saying, like, shit.
I love it. He's the only one who can get away with that as well.
Yeah, of course.
When we said that about Heath Slater, I don't give a shit about your kids.
Yeah. He doesn't care. He actually doesn't care.
It's good, man. Very good stuff. More of this, please, WWE.
Keep it going.
I care to say Cedric Alexander versus Neville Noam Dar.
Let's keep moving.
And the main event, Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt, another nice match, and Bray picks up the victory again.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I was like, Bray won and Great Balls, he's going to lose at Raw. No. So what do you think the future plans for Bray? They're going to try and...
Let's get him a title, man. Let's get him a title. Serious. I like that.
What title?
Obviously, at the moment, that's kind of tied up. But I just think he needs to go into the end of the... Like, towards the end of the year. Survivor Series in a title picture.
Right.
That's what I want. I don't know how they're going to do it, but that's what I think should be the future. What do you think? And then they kind of tease this Shield reunion again as well with Dean coming out to save Seth now.
He saves him at the end, yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
I think there might be something to... I think they might do something with a Shield return. I don't know.
Or they might just turn on each other.
Yeah, that's what I think. They might feud.
They might feud, yeah.
Shield. Well, I mean, Dean and... Dean and Seth. Yeah,
Dean
yeah.
and Seth might just feud.
They have great matches.
They do.
I think Seth gives Dean his best matches.
We'll see.
All right. Before we talk about SmackDown, friend of the show, journalist of the Sports Bible, Josh Lawless, has kindly granted us an interview with Ring of Honor rising star Bullet Club member Marty Scurll. So this was backstage at the World Culture Pro Wrestling event that was held a few weeks ago. So check it out. This is it.
The kick out.
Yep, all good. So Matty, obviously Kyle O'Reilly tonight. We spoke to him earlier. He said one of the many matches that you two have had together. Do you enjoy working with Kyle?
I do and I don't. I do because obviously he's a fantastic wrestler and he brings out kind of the best in me. And he, he's when you get in the ring with the guys who are the best in the world. Whether it be Canada or Europe or Japan or America, obviously that's what I strive for. That's what I want to do. I don't want to go in the ring with complete jabronis. So yes, obviously I like the competition aspect of it. The last two times I wrestled Kyle, the next day after both of them, like my legs just had like ridiculous cramps, which is not too pleasant. So obviously I'm not a big legs guy, but yeah, my legs get a hell of a workout with Kyle. So that part I don't enjoy so much.
How much are you enjoying your little run at the moment? Obviously being in...
My little run?
Little, fantastic run. In Bullet Club and obviously being in Ring of Honor in New Japan.
It's great. I'm having time of my life. I love New Japan. Love working with Ring of Honor. They give me this amazing platform to go out there and be the villain that I envisionised. And in terms of the Bullet Club, it was a natural sort of progression. Obviously being really close friends with the Young Bucks and Kenny as well. We all have a vision and I feel like we're part of a movement at the moment and obviously doing that together it's more stronger. So obviously we've got the Young Bucks in the States and Kenny in Japan who's Canadian and me who still works in America but still lives here in Europe. So I feel like we're doing something different and the fans are starting to recognise it, so it's an exciting time for sure.
How did that moment feel when obviously you joined Bullet Club, the lights went off, the big pop that happened?
It was great. I was more concerned, I was just worried that the umbrella was going to open up, obviously, honest with you. It's a weird feeling because essentially I'm just opening an umbrella and obviously there's grown men in the crowd losing their minds. And it was one of those things that a lot of people saw coming, but I think that's why they enjoyed it so much. And oh, this would be cool, but will it really happen? And then it did. So, for me, wrestling is about being a part of greater moments. And when I came to Ring of Honor, I wanted to make these amazing moments happen. When we did that angle, or when I joined the Bullet Club, should I say, we had Bullet Club as the number one trend in the world. So that's what I want to do at Ring of Honor. Like every single pay per view, something like that needs to happen in my mind. Last pay-per-view was another good one with Cody winning the belt. Had a lot of people talking. Time before, the villain joins the Bullet Club. So we want to make those pay-per-views have those kind of can't-miss moments. So it's the start of many, I hope.
At what point did you stop partying and become the villain? And what was the inspiration behind it?
I'm a grown man now, man. 29 this month, so... Boy's got to grow up, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
When you first sort of envisaged the villain, sort of... gimmick, did you sort of see it going as big as it has done?
I mean, there wasn't like a massive thought process, it's just me finding myself more as a human being, I think. There's not so much a character, it's the villain's a moniker, but the villain's also just who I am in general, to be honest with you. It's and that's why it's managed to do well. That's why people can connect with it, because my act's organic and it's authentic and it's real. So that's why people get behind it. Obviously, traditionally, you're not supposed to get behind it because he's a villain, but they do because I'm not going out there sort of pretending to be anything else. So that's why I think the fans just connect with it. So it wasn't like a big plan. Oh, I turned this character, and this will happen. It was just finding myself as a performer.
What made you choose the umbrella to sort of be the symbol and like the iconic prop of the villain character?
Well, I was wrestling a lot abroad and I wanted to give a nod to the United Kingdom. I didn't want to be so obvious and have Union Jacks over me. It's something, obviously, Zack Sabre does really well, and even Will Ospreay. And I just figured my whole thing is being different. I want to, you know, everything. If someone does something already, I swap it, I change it. So the umbrella, I thought, was a nice nod to Britain. For me, it was kind of synonymous with that British sort of gentleman villain. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. There wasn't much thought process. I just was like, oh, I'm going to take an umbrella to the ring. It wasn't some massive mind fuck game or whatever. It was just simply, I'm going to carry an umbrella to the ring. Why not?
Did you ever think you'd sell an umbrella for £2,000?
Yes. I mean, that's just, you know, that's down to my amazing fan base, really, that, you know, my fans are super passionate. Like I said, even though I'm the villain, I think, ironically, I probably have the biggest connection with my fans out of, you know, the majority of the rest is on tonight's show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, I thank them for supporting me in that way. And obviously, they've got something they can cherish for life now, I hope.
During your career as a wrestler, have you known there to be a time when indie wrestling seems to be as hot as it is at the moment?
No, not at all. And it's the reason why I tried my hardest to never complain or to never get complacent, because it could all end tomorrow. So it's hot today, it was hot today, or, you know, I'm white hot at the moment, but I could finish tomorrow. Obviously, I'll try my hardest for it not to. But right now, it's, like I said, it's a movement. We're creating this alternative product, and people are digging it, people get behind it, and it's, you know, it's truly something special to be a part of.
Hmm. What do you think the sort of main reason is? Maybe the rise of social media, you know, more people getting a chance to see these other promotions?
Social media. I think just a growing indie scene, just after a while, it's going to get better. A lot of it's had to start from nothing, and obviously, over years, you know, the whole combination of the wrestlers, the promoters, getting experience, getting better promoting, better wrestling, everything else. It's an ever-growing thing. It's an evolving thing, and obviously, social media has helped it out loads. When I was 10 years ago, if you wanted to watch a Mighty Scale match, it might be quite hard, but now you can do it with a click of your fingers. So I think that's a big part of it.
What would be your career highlight so far? Obviously, you've had a few the last couple of years.
Debuting in New Japan, because I think that's like a real accomplishment, because it's a legit company, and it's not necessarily a company that is full of British guys or even foreign talent. So that was always a dream of mine ever since I was a kid, watching guys like Josh and Liger, guys who are on the show tonight, and then getting to be in the tournament wrestling those guys, because I waited a long time to debut in Japan. And when I did it, it wasn't like I just debuted for an indie promotion or a smaller promotion. It was the biggest promotion in the most biggest tournament for my weight bracket, the most prestigious tournament. So probably, I mean, I've had lots of highlights. Like, I've been very, very blessed to do the things I do, winning PWG, Battle of Los Angeles, and what I've done in Ring of Honor, and also just how I've helped the UK scene grow. Get a deal with Hot Topic in America, that was a pretty big deal, massive career highlight. But in my mind, I don't get a chance really to enjoy the glory, because obviously I'm kind of constantly thinking, okay, what's next, what can I achieve next, because we can't wrestle forever, so it's important to you know, achieve those goals while we're doing it.
Can we expect you to have some gold around your waist soon?
Boy, I hope so, man. You know, I think the obvious ones, obviously I'd love to win some gold in Japan. That would really certify my start there in Japan. And I think it's a long time coming, I think, with the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight title as well. It's something I think the fans want. So I think it's only a matter of time before that belt's around my waist.
You mentioned it being a dream to obviously debut in New Japan. Is it a dream of yours to wrestle Rey Mysterio? Obviously, that's happening.
Absolutely, yeah. It's huge for me, because I used to watch him when I was younger, and he was such a huge innovator and such an amazing talent. And getting the chance to step in the ring with him is, again, it's one of those things where if I think about it, it's like, oh, wow, 10-year-old Marty's freaking out.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm just kind of looking forward to it and hoping that I can have a good match and put on a good show. But it is, it's crazy. When I was a kid watching these wrestlers on TV, it all seemed so far away. It seemed such an unachievable thing. But obviously, working hard, and if you want something hard enough, then it can happen. So these little moments, that things like that, you're like, oh, wow, like, actually, I can do this. So I'm excited. Mm.
If you had a time machine, could work in any era, any promotion, where would you go?
You know what, I'd actually quite like just to wrestle in the 70s in Britain.
Yeah.
Just do those old rounds matches and just go from city to city. I think that'd be fun, man. All the characters back then, all those guys like Vic Faulkner and Big McManus, I'm sure that was I'm not sure if it'd be a delight, and it's probably not as glamorous as the wrestling is now, but I think it'd be, yeah, I think I'd have a few stories to tell. So that kind of wrestling always intrigued me, so yeah, I wouldn't mind giving that a go.
And if you could add one person to the Bullet Club, and obviously you've got a lot of talent in there at the moment, mm-hmm. Who would you pick?
I think it's got to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think, yeah,
could it happen?
Mate, I got
he was on his podcast, wasn't he? So
I
maybe.
Was, yeah. I mean, I didn't ask him, but you know, we're pretty good buddies now, so maybe I could give him a call and ask him if he's up for it. One last run with the Bullet Club, that'd be different, right?
No, oh, yeah.
That's what his business needs. So, yeah, maybe if I get the balls, I'll ask him.
did he give you any sort of advice or tips or anything?
He did for sure. He was really cool, man. He was obviously a Stone Cold Steve Austin, just one of the greatest in all time, just in terms of, not just in the ring, but just a pop culture icon, and the way he resonated with people, and the way he, you know, for me, my goal in wrestling is to captivate and exhilarate, and I can't think of many that did that more than Stone Cold Steve Austin. So getting to spend some time with him and pick his brain, it was a really, really cool moment. Another kind of surreal moment as well, but hopefully people enjoy the podcast, and hopefully I'll get to spend some more time with him, because what a legend. So
if you had to pick Mayweather, McGregor, Bullet Club, who's the better fit?
Oh, for the Bullet Club.
For the Bullet Club.
Oh. It's gotta be McGregor, I think, isn't it? he's a hell of a trash talker. Mayweather, he doesn't need the Bullet Club money, he's got enough. Yeah. I mean, McGregor does as well, but I think I like Floyd Mayweather anyway, but I haven't really watched boxing for years and years and years. MMA, I kind of take a slight interest in, so I think McGregor would be a good fit, I think, yeah.
And just finally, do you still harbour WWE aspirations, or do you feel like the current era, you don't need to go to WWE to be successful?
It's one of those things, man, like right now, like I absolutely love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Get to live my dream and like I said, travel to Japan, work in America, travel all over the world. I'm in Mexico next week and Costa Rica after that, and getting to wrestle my heroes and do so many, you know, make a really good living as well from just essentially freedom, my own boss. It's amazing. My time in wrestling, because I've been doing it a long time now, I think probably a lot longer than people realise, obviously I've come to know that with wrestling, timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if it worked for them and it worked for me, then it could happen. I guess it's a never say never thing. Right now, though, obviously, I'm doing my thing and I'm having a great time. So never say never, really, is the vague answer for that. It's always things are vague questions. People go, oh, would you go to WWE? And I go, well, hang on a second, what does that mean? Like, if I said to you, hey, will you do something if I give you money? You're
going
to be like, well, what is it? How much?
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. So, circumstances. So.
Yeah.
Never say never.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, good. Thanks,
Matt. The Kickout.
Cool. That was a nice interview there. It's cool. You know, Marty's cool. I mean, what do you think of... I know you don't really watch Ring of Honor much, Ace.
Yeah.
But Marty Scurll, what's your thoughts on him?
I'm excited about him, man. I'm very excited about him. He's a massive personality.
UK as well.
UK as well. Used to watch him on what was the TV show he used to do? He used to do that.
What do you mean? When he used to interview people? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wrestle Talk.
Yeah. I thought it was quite funny on there. I'm glad that he's doing his bits now. So, yeah, I mean, he's
come a long way.
He's come a long way.
And he's shining.
He's got a bright future, man, and he's got a lot of support behind him.
I think he was definitely one of the scouts that Triple H wanted for the British, the UK tournament.
Why do you think that never happened?
Well, he just was on his own independence. He's like, no, I'm going to go here. I want to go, because he wrestles for Japan now as well.
Okay.
And he's part of the Bullet Club, so good for him. Good good fit for the Bullet Club as well. Good replacement for Adam Cole.
So. Yeah.
All right. Smack Dizzle. Smack Downeth. Smack of D.
Well, we have to mention the MSG show, because...
Oh, yes, we do.
AJ Styles picked up the US title at a house show. This doesn't happen often.
The last time that happened is when Samoa Joe defeated Finn Balor for the NXT title.
Exactly.
So now AJ Styles defeats Kevin Owens at the at Madison Square Garden for the United States. So I'm assuming AJ was probably supposed to win at Battleground.
Yeah, maybe.
But they have another match at Battleground still, aren't they?
Yeah, they still have a
match. It's not like Kevin's injured or anything.
No.
Wow, why? I don't understand.
I feel like maybe just because it was MSG.
Something special for AJ.
Something special for AJ.
That's the first time ever wrestling MSG.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's just that.
Interesting.
It's happened before. Like, didn't Diesel win a title at MSG?
Yeah, with Bob Backlund.
At a house show as well. Yeah, so I don't think it's
nine
like
seconds.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that. A mate like out of the ordinary. But hey, it is what it is. I mean, I feel like I think it's a good look for AJ.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it had to have been at a pay-per-view.
Okay.
And big up to everybody that was there. And you know what? The way they were promoting that MSG show as well was like it was a super show anyway. Like, everybody was on the card. Like, it was a Raw and SmackDown
card,
so...
Do you think Kevin Owens will win it back at Battleground?
No.
Please?
No.
Okay. So you think AJ Shinsuke?
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, at some point.
But at SummerSlam?
I've heard, like, Jericho's coming back sooner than we think as well.
So he's going back.
Yeah, soon. Like, not as it's not like a year away. Like, we're like months away.
Wow.
So maybe he might pick up that Kevin Owens feud.
Yeah, of course he will.
Okay, yeah.
Going into whatever next pay per view is. Yeah, I've heard Y2J's on his way back.
Wow, that's really quick.
It is very soon.
I'm glad though.
Yeah, I'm about that.
He's amazing. Like, his stuff, the stuff that he did with Owens last year was just...
Great.
Insane.
Yeah, so anyway, we started SmackDown with the brand new US champion, AJ Styles.
Yes.
And he says, look, we're gonna take it back to the open format US title open challenge, which I think is sick.
Yeah.
Because I think that little run that John Cena had with the US Open Challenge was
phenomenal.
Was very good for him as well. That's like when you started to get tired of John Cena, when he had that, he was like, okay, cool, I'll rate this. And he was having some of his best matches in as well. He
definitely was.
So yeah, to see AJ do this every week is gonna be sick.
When Cena came out.
That annoyed me.
He did?
Yeah, it pissed me off a little bit. It was like, come on, man. Like that was the one bit of music I did not want to hear.
Yeah.
And the crowd went mad though.
Yeah.
He got a super pop for it.
And but then Kevin Owens ruined the party.
Of course.
And said, nobody wants to see this match again.
I agree.
Yeah, it's true.
Were you happy that he came out?
Owens?
No, Cena.
No, I was surprised. I wasn't happy. I was like, oh, okay.
And then when it looked like they were about to start the match, I was like, bro, they're really going to give Cena the title. Because then I thought it was like they would give Cena the US title to go into Battleground against Rusev to make it a bit bigger. But I'm glad that never happened. Anyway.
So Kevin Owens interrupts, cuts the promo on both men, and then I believe he goes to attack Cena. And then Rusev comes out of nowhere, super kicks Cena. And then AJ attacks Rusev, and Owens attacks AJ. And then obviously, Teddy Long fashion, it's going to be a tag match, player! So that became a stipulation between. Let's go straight into the main event. What did you think of it?
You didn't get to see
it
now.
It was, it is what it is. You know, obviously they're all great athletes, and but it's just I'm kind of like bored of the same old. You know what I mean, Ace?
Mm.
Going straight into a double tag team, and
we knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah. I didn't really.
What else happened to Jinder Mahal?
What did Jinder Mahal do?
He had a match against
Ty Dillinger. And that was a long match.
It was a good match as well.
And Jinder was alright in it, actually.
Jinder's not bad.
He's not bad, but he's not doing a great job, though, either. I should be really invested in Jinder. Because I was happy for him that he won the title.
Yeah.
So, because I was happy for him, I should be a mark. I should be right now. I should be like, yes, Jinder, that's not happening. So I kind of feel he's kind of dropped the ball a bit for me, my anticipate. You know what I mean? I'm not anticipating anything. Maybe because he's still in the program, Randy Orton as well. Maybe that's probably what it is. The Punjabi prison match, are you?
Yeah, I've just
switched off.
Yeah,
I agree, Reese.
Yeah. I thought it might be a controversial shout because I've really hyped it up as if to be like, and I just think it's just a cage match.
And it's never been an entertaining match either in the past. There's never been an amazing spot or anything memorable. About, I don't think anything that happens in that match.
No.
Just who participated in the match. That's
true.
Yeah.
You think
reinforced steel bamboo?
Who wins that? Do you think?
That's what they said.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. No. Exactly. Reinforced steel bamboo. What?
That even makes it.
It's just when your cages just aren't the same anymore anyway.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like it used to be. There used to be madness going on inside, outside, on top of cages, cells.
That's a good point, Reese. I don't think you can do an entertaining cage match compared to the old ones where you had no rules, really.
Yeah.
Now you've got rules of what you can and can't do with PG.
Yeah.
It's just a single match point, in really? A cage now.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no point.
Like, I want to see Cactus Jack, Mankind getting dashed off the top, Rikishi getting dashed off. That Rikishi, Kurt Angle, Stone Cold.
Armageddon match,
one of the best. But since then, you've not been able to really recreate anything.
No.
Anything like that due to the PG rules.
It's true. Remember the Kurt Angle Benoit match when Angle did a moonsault off the cage?
Yeah, wild.
Wow.
Wild.
Xavier Woods took on
Jimmy Uso.
You know what I mean? Nice little finish, but it was just...
Mm. Already a great SmackDown this week.
No.
Honest, no.
What happened to Gable? Was Gable there?
Yes, he had a little encounter with Maria Kanellis backstage.
Sami Zayn, you mean?
No.
Chad Gable as well?
Chad Gable did as well.
Oh, and is he there? I saw when Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis.
Yeah, they were kind of just going back to
hit Sami Zayn with the vase.
Yeah, so I'm guessing.
Sami Zayn said, I don't know why I was apologizing to you. So I guess that's going to be the match for Battleground, isn't it?
Yeah, Sami Zayn versus Mike.
That'd be good.
We find out that it's going to be a... I like that they're keeping the belt on Naomi for a while.
Yeah, Naomi's doing, she's doing really well.
So there's going to be a gauntlet match. Is it a gauntlet match? No, a elimination match.
Yeah.
For the number one contendership for the women's SmackDown women's title. There was a tag team match with the women. And that was about it.
And Tamina picked up the victory.
Yeah, that was kind of SmackDown in a nutshell, if we're honest.
There was something... Oh, and I like the Fashion Files segment.
There you go. And that was kind of it. Nothing else to reply, really.
All right, let's talk about the main thing that happened as well at the end of Raw this week, if we didn't get to talk about earlier. Kurt Angle's phone call after...
Yeah, we touched on it a little bit, but...
So you don't think it's...
I don't think it's got anything to do with Dixie Carter.
There's a rumour that it's Stephanie.
Yeah.
And that they had an affair back in that storyline days.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they have a son.
No.
Who's a wrestler.
Nah.
On SmackDown.
How's that possible?
Do you know who you're talking about?
Who?
Chad Gable. That's the rumor.
That's a terrible...
I don't know if that's good too, but there's a strong rumor that...
What?
So when Angle and Stephanie had...
No, the timing is... That's like what that would have been like.
That would have made him like 16, 15.
That's a good point.
That timing is terrible. No way.
Can you imagine they did that though?
That's quite funny.
Yeah, no. Because Stephanie didn't even get pregnant around them times.
She didn't.
I remember like she was asleep on the sofa. He came in, kissed her or whatever. Triple H scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic. Yeah, like that love
classic
triangle.
Classic story.
It's a stupid rumor because it wouldn't make sense.
Maybe I do like Chad Gable being his son though.
Yeah,
but maybe not Stephanie. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe Dixie.
Maybe. I like that.
Maybe. This is why he went TNA. And all that.
Maybe. Interesting. I like that.
But it's funny though. I mean, I don't know if it... Without having the rights of TNA or TNA not being out of business anymore, it'd be quite weird for them to promote TNA in a way with Dixie.
But you know what it is like?
I guess they could just say, the promotion!
Dixie being there promotes TNA in a weird way. It's so evident that WWE just doesn't see TNA as competition.
Yeah.
It's not really.
No, not at all.
Like, so they'll do anything to just shit on them. It's fine. It is what it is. Anyway, so this week's going to be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting.
Very, very interesting. Awesome. All right.
Reese, thank you for coming.
We're
going to have you on the show more, man, as well. You know what I mean? And yeah, where can the people find you on the socials, your details?
Yeah, so at Reese_Sanders on Instagram, at Reese_Sanders1 on Twitter. Yeah, just find me. At me. Yeah, go on The Hook, Fubar Radio. Yeah, just
Google your online presence.
Whatever, look
is
for
mad,
me, innit?
Bro.
I'm a bar.
Absolutely, you're out here, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Ace, big up yourself as well.
You too, brother.
And we'll have some more stuff coming up next week.
All right, peace.
Peace.